All right, it's Friday. Back on the movie retrospective and
Yeah.
back on the old movies, because
You're right.
we, you know, we did a new one last time.
They're not old, they're just vintage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like
Actually,
us.
this is actually one of my favorite movies from back in the day when I was a kid, Halloween 3. And,
Season of the Witch.
yeah, and I didn't know it at the time, but this was like the least popular of the Halloween series,
Yeah.
evidently. But I never saw 1 and 2. I saw this one first.
You saw this one first?
Right. So, and I didn't know anything about 1 or 2 or Michael Myers. So I saw this as a standalone feature.
Which is what it was intended to be,
yeah.
really.
So I thought maybe the other two were like this. It wasn't until later that I saw
that
1 and 2.
That you figured out, yeah.
That they didn't really, you know, have anything to do with one another.
So you saw it without any preconceived notions.
No preconceived notions. Just saw it for what it was. And I was, you know, shit. What year did this come out again?
82.
Okay, so, you know, I was 12.
Yeah.
Around that, around 12 or so. And it tripped me out, man. I loved it.
It's
yeah,
such
I
a
loved
weird
it.
It's such a weird premise.
Oh, man, robots, masks that weaponize little kids' heads, and they turn into damn rattlesnakes and crickets and dangerous centipedes, and then those go off to kill the parents. I fucking loved it. The little bump, 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 a silver shade. Hey,
well,
kids,
yeah.
you know, all that kind of stuff. You know?
Now, yeah.
It's almost time.
Now everybody's going to.
It's almost time.
That's
yeah,
actually,
awesome.
That's actually, I believe that's the director's voice.
Is it?
Yeah.
He nailed it. It's almost time.
That's what I've heard.
Yeah. Dun, dun, dun,
dun, dun. Yeah, it's like, I bought him the, they have, you know how that you have some of those John Carpenter, direct his John Carpenter collection, and they have those
yeah.
really, really nice, like, steelbook editions.
Yeah, she gave
editions.
Me this for Christmas.
So I got him the Halloween 3 one, even though, like I said, technically John Carpenter didn't direct this one.
It doesn't really matter,
he was still
though.
Involved. He did the music. He produced it.
And like it is like... It's a spitting image of a John Carpenter movie. You can't tell that he didn't direct this. It's
yeah.
got it feels like a Carpenter flick. The soundtrack,
yeah, it
the
does
lighting,
in a lot of ways.
The script, just the way things are shot, the feel of the movie. It felt like a Carpenter movie to me. I don't care that it really isn't, and it is in that collection.
Yeah,
because you know he was involved.
Yeah,
I think he told the director do it just like I would do it.
Yeah,
and it was, you know,
I'm not
perfect.
Real sure because after, you know, obviously Halloween was very successful, then they rushed
yeah.
Halloween 2 into production like very quickly. So since those two were so successful, producers were like, well, hey, we want to do a third one. But John Carpenter and Deborah Hill said, we're not doing a third one unless Michael Myers isn't in it because we're sick of doing that.
Yeah.
It's like our whole idea, which they had actually wanted to do with the second one. But, you know, the second one went into production so quickly that they didn't really have time to... you know, kind of cobble anything together. They said we wanted to do an anthology series
yeah.
of films where it's like one would come out every Halloween and that was like a different story.
Yeah, like a creep show.
Yeah, like a creep show type thing,
yeah.
but, you know, movies that are like years apart.
Yeah.
So this was supposedly going to be the first in that. Now, John Carpenter did not write the script for this. He actually asked Nigel Neal, who is a very famous British screenwriter, very popular, very famous for his Quatermass series, which is like a sci-fi type series, is very, very popular over there back in the day, and John Carpenter was a big fan of those. So he asked Nigel Neal to do it. Now, Nigel Neal came up with the whole, you know, Celtic paganism type angle, like going back to the roots of Halloween, and he added
yeah,
the sci-fi
element. Yeah, they steal a stone
element.
Out of Stonehenge. It's
right.
awesome.
Yeah. I know the plot is like so convoluted, but
yeah.
it's like you have to love it. I mean,
yeah.
it's just like the craziest supervillain
yeah.
plan ever. But so the problem was though that Nigel Neal's script, apparently Dino De Laurentiis, who's their production company, was, you know, producing it and putting
Another
up
awesome
fronting
dude.
The money.
Yeah.
They said, oh, well, it's not gory enough, it's not scary enough. So Tommy Lee Wallace, the guy who eventually ended up directing it, who had actually been the art director on the first two Halloween movies and was supposed to direct the second one, but actually ended up not doing it, he actually ended up directing Halloween 3 Season of the Witch. Fun fact, he also directed the It miniseries that came out in 1990 with Tim Curry as Pennywise. So, you know, he did some other shit too. I think he did Fright Night 2 and stuff like that. But, yeah, so he ended up kind of rewriting the script. Nigel Neal apparently did not like the plot that Nigel Neal came up with for the screenplay is essentially the same. They didn't really change it, but so much of it was changed, like more gore was added, more violence was added, like a whole bunch more stuff. And Nigel Neal felt like, well, it's not really my script anymore, so he asked that his name be taken off of it. So actually, Tommy Lee Wallace, I think, has the sole screenwriting credit on this, even though he was just kind of like... you know, massaging another. Because this is like, it's not gory in the same way a slasher movie is.
No.
I mean, they specifically said, Nigel Neal said this, Tommy Lee Wallace said this. He's like, we wanted to make it a pod movie and not a knife movie.
It was gross, though.
Yeah.
There's a scene where a woman, yeah. Remember when that woman was used the, I guess it was a bobby pin to dig around inside the silver shamrock.
Inside the microchip, yeah.
The silver shamrock label, and it blew up and shot a damn fragment of Stonehenge into her face, and she lived for a little bit, remember?
And they show her in the hospital, her face is all fucked up.
Potato bug came out of her mouth. It's just zany science.
Yeah.
You know, that little particles of Stonehenge can be weaponized into these little masks, these little labels on a mask that can be shot into you that would turn your head into a bunch of crickets and rattlesnakes. Just don't think too much.
Well, like
just
I said,
when you see it, you're like, wow, you know?
You have to love somebody like a supervillain with a crazy plan like this.
Yeah.
I mean, Connell Cochran, who is the warlock, I guess he's supposed to be a warlock, that runs Silver Shamrock.
Yeah.
His plan is like, we're going to take a stone from Stonehenge, one of the big ones.
Yeah.
We're going to transport it over to California.
Yeah.
Without anyone knowing.
Nobody'll
We're going to chip little pieces of it off. We're going to put each piece in the little microchips in these masks that we're making. And then when the kids wear the masks and watch the little commercial or the thing
it'll
on
send
TV,
out a signal.
It'll send out a signal and make all their heads turn into like snakes and spiders, which will in turn
kill the families,
kill their parents.
It'll be a big Samhain sacrifice. And they're going to do all this with robots. He's got...
Oh, yeah. I forgot about the androids.
He can build humanoid... He can build androids.
Yeah.
Just because. Because
you can. Why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
If you could do that, you would do
that. He has an army of androids, and he has a factory. And the factory that he owns, the Silver Shamrock Company, is a novelty company.
Yeah.
They make novelties. And in this
case... Not those kind of novelties.
No. It's kind of like... What's the name of that new... It's like Spencer's Gifts in a way now, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's a situation like that. You know, costumes and masks, and he's supplying places like that. It's a pretty cool flick, man.
I just love that was the idea he came up with. Like,
yeah.
Because does he want to kill everyone in the world?
I think...
Like,
no,
as the ultimate sacrifice and replace them with robots?
I'm trying to remember. It's kind of unclear, really, the big picture of his plan.
If we're being totally
You're
honest.
Not supposed to ask those kind of questions. You're just supposed to... A guy and a young girl, all right? He looks like he's about 50. But
Tom Atkins, he's so rad.
But dudes back in the 80s and early 80s and late 70s, they kind of prematurely aged. There was a lot of drinking, a lot of smoking and stuff going on. And back in those days, a 30-year-old man could look like a 50-year-old. And he's hooking up with this hot young thing. He just got divorced, and I think she was single, remember?
Yeah.
And it looks like like father and daughter.
It really does.
That's what it looks like it's going
on.
So
if you're into that, you probably want to watch
He's taking advantage, you know? He's taking advantage of his male position, you know, I guess.
He's a doctor.
He's like
too.
A doctor, right?
A doctor.
So he's got money. And he picks up this hot young thing. They go to investigate this Silver Shamrock.
Well, she's the daughter of someone that got killed.
Got killed
and
in
came
that
into the hospital.
Right.
And he found it, and he wanted to figure out why this guy died mysteriously.
Yeah.
Like somebody came in and murdered him.
Yeah.
And he had a mask in his hand when he died.
His androids are almost kind of like the prototype for the Terminators. They're these guys that, you know, they don't talk much, and they wear business suits, and they'll go and kill somebody. They got a lot of strength. And then they'll destroy themselves. The one guy, he killed that woman's dad. Was it the dad?
Yeah.
Killed the dad in the hospital. And then he goes out of the car and douses himself with gasoline
and sets
himself on fire in the car.
Handy dandy.
Right in front of everybody else. And then it's a trip because like the forensic pathologist is trying to do an autopsy on the body and he can't find anything. She thought that these were car parts, but they weren't.
I don't know where his body went.
I thought this was a car part. This is not a car part. It turns out it's the pieces of the robot. You know, it takes a long time to put that together.
That's not really the first thing you jump to.
Right.
It's like this guy is like a robot.
So they go to the factory to try to investigate what's happening, what happened to her father. I can't remember how he got involved with it. He saw the fire, right?
Who? The doctor?
The doctor. He saw the fire.
He was in the hospital when
it happened.
When the dad came in.
That's right.
And that was like his patient. Mm-hmm. And then he thought it was weird that, like, because somebody tried to kill him. Remember, he came in the hospital, said they're going to kill us all, and he was clutching the mask.
The doctor says that, you
know, and then later somebody came in and murdered him, and the doctor was like, "Okay, I got to get to the bottom of that."
So the doctor leaves his job, leaves his wife, everything, runs off this.
I think that was his ex-wife.
Okay,
they didn't make that super clear.
I guess so. And he runs off with this hot young thing to go to the Silver Shamrock Company, do a private investigation. And it's
it's like he totally blew off. It's said, like, hey, good luck with all those surgeries. I got a
fuck me the doctor. I'm now a private eye.
I got this hot chick to bang, and I got, like, you know, Scooby Doo shit I got to do.
Yeah,
you guys take care of that.
So when they get there, there's a little hotel right outside the factory, and they stay in that hotel in the beginning of their investigation. It turns out, like, a family shows up there at the same day, and he's been invited
to tour the factory.
He's the number one salesman that's been pushing these products. So that's that they make friends with him, and that's how they got into the Silver Shamrock factories, by hitching a ride along with this number one salesman. And he's kind of like a old school kind of hokey salesman, you know, middle age Carnival Barker type salesman.
He probably did. He have, like, a really loud jacket? I feel like
he did. Fucking polyester.
Even if
suit
he didn't like spiritually, he had a really loud jacket on.
Polyester suit and big wide tie and all that, you know, with the two kids. And I think they had a Winnebago, didn't they? Didn't matter.
Oh, I don't know.
Anyway, they get into this factory, and just strange things were afoot when they got in there. And then turns out that the guy that owns the factory, what was his name again?
Connell Cochran.
Cochran. Cochran's going to use this number one salesman and his family as test subjects to test out this new weapon that he's making. And the weapon is these three masks. It's a witch, a skull, and a jack-o'-lantern.
Yeah.
And on the back of them, they've got this little metal labels with a shamrock on the back of it. And when you put that on, and they broadcast a certain frequency through a television commercial.
It's like a little flashy pump.
Yeah, it goes boom, 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 boom. It's almost time. You know, all this kind of stuff. And
Silver Shamrock. Yeah. Now it's stuck in your head forever. Yeah.
And that signal comes through the television, and it will blow your kid's head up, basically. And what comes out is poisonous snakes and insects, and then they kill you. And this is something good, you know. This has to do with Samhain. You know, it's a big sacrifice.
Yeah, they're doing a super... And the thing about this movie, and like I said, this is an old movie, so I guess we can, like, kind of spoil it and stuff, but the thing about this movie that even a lot of movies in the 80s didn't do, at least in the U.S., Europeans didn't seem too squeamish about killing off little kids in horror movies, but the U.S. kind of did.
Yeah, it was like a law.
This one was kind of...
unwritten rule, you're not supposed to do that.
Yeah, don't kill the kids.
And the dogs and the cats. Don't
kill the kids. But like I said, Europeans were just like, fuck it, fuck those kids. But... but this movie, I mean, this isn't just killing the one kid, because, like, the one kid whose head gets, like, snake-eyed and stuff.
Yeah.
It's pretty much killing all the kids. And the bad guy wins, doesn't he? I mean, essentially, that's what the...
Yeah.
That's what the end with, like, Tom Atkins, like, screaming at the phone, stop it, stop it, stop it,
stop it, stop it, stop it, stop it, stop it, stop it. It goes on forever. Stop it.
That's how the movie ends. The movie ends with every single kid who has...
Yeah.
Although, that's... Okay.
You can't spoil everything about the movie, because there may be some young people that have never seen this one, but there's something about it when you're 12 or 13 years old, even when you're in your teens and you're watching this movie, in those days there was something that kind of drew you into it. It had a creepy ambience to the movie.
Yeah.
Because, I don't know, when you're that age back in those days, you could kind of... You could kind of maybe imagine something like this could actually happen. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Stonehenge was involved. Of course some shit like that could happen, you know? It's just
What I was going to say is that, okay, this is one movie. Okay, now I know it's called Halloween 3, but like I said, it doesn't have anything to do with Michael Myers. Michael Myers, it doesn't have anything to do. Pretty much the only reference that they make, like the music sounds the same, kind of. They actually, in this universe of this movie... Halloween and Halloween 2 are fictional movies, because somebody, like, you see, like, a trailer for them on TV, like, they're playing on TV.
Yeah.
So, those movies exist in this universe, but it's not, like, anything to do with it.
Yeah.
This is one of those movies where you really, I mean, the premise, like I said, is, like, completely ridiculous, but if you buy into it, it's very, very enjoyable.
Don't think about it.
Just don't think about it.
Don't think about it. Just roll with it.
Yeah.
Just roll with it.
Which I don't know. I find that the best way to kind of approach any movie. Yeah. But like this one especially.
Witchcraft.
Because yeah, because you know, there you can't really suspend your disbelief right. about the although I have to say this is what I was gonna say a couple minutes ago, was that in a movie with lifelike androids, pieces of Stonehenge making kids' heads turn into snakes.
Yeah.
Somehow the thing that I found the most unbelievable was that this company would only make 3 masks and that every single kid would want one of them.
They had good advertisement.
I guess so.
That commercial. That, beep, 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 beep,
that marketing guy in the...
to Halloween, Halloween, Halloween. Silver Shamrock. I know. It's almost time.
And now, like I said, now everybody that watched this is going to be stuck in your head like for fucking ever. Because, like, I just bought it for him for Christmas and we watched it a couple of days
it's
ago.
It's got a lot of good extras on, it's been on the...
stuck
on
in my
the,
head forever.
Yeah, it's got a lot of good extras on the Steelbook edition. It's Shout Factory Steelbook. It's good.
Yeah. I feel like this movie, it made its money back because it only cost like $2.5 million to make. And it actually ended up making like 14, 15 million. So it wasn't a total failure, but it was the lowest performing of all the Halloween movies. And there were a bunch of other, you know, big horror behemoths that came out in 1982. Obviously, Poltergeist, which kicked everyone's ass.
Yeah.
Creepshow, Friday the 13th Part 3 even did better than this one, like the 3D one. Yeah. So it was not a complete failure, but it was very disappointing. And when it first came out, it was almost universally panned. A few critics did kind of like it, and they liked... They're like, well, you couldn't really do anything else with Michael Myers, so good for them for, like, doing something different. So there were some contemporary... you know, reviews at the time that did say that type of thing. But in general, most of the reviews were pretty negative. But I feel like over the years...
It's got a cult following.
It's kind of like... Because as people become cognizant that it doesn't have Michael Myers in it, it's kind of like a standalone in the series. So you're not expecting it. I feel like a lot of the backlash that when it first came out was because they were expecting it to be a Michael Myers movie and it wasn't.
Should have been called Silver Shamrock.
They should have just done... Yeah, they probably should have just not called it that.
Yeah.
Because then, you know, then like 6 years later, they had to like retcon and go back, oh, Return of Michael Myers Part 4. And like,
it, you know, this movie could have stood on its own in its day. It did. Because when it hit Cinemax and HBO, kids... You know what I mean? 12, 13, 14-year-old kids just watched it every time it came on. Where were you going to go?
Yeah, I did.
You couldn't go to the club, so you just watched Cinemax.
Yeah, you're 12.
So you just watched that shit. And we loved it, you know? We just loved it.
Well, the thing about
the difference was that we didn't have any money, so we weren't spending any money on it.
Yeah.
So that's why they, you know, the adults didn't like it, but we liked it.
Well, like I said, I think part of the reason that a lot of kids might have liked this at the time, because I really liked it too. I think I saw it on HBO or Cinemax, like you said. Is because the kids got fucked up in it.
Yeah.
They did. They were not shy about it. Like I said, I was like, holy fucking shit, that kid.
That kid
like,
started dying and the damn pumpkin mask was getting smaller.
And then all the snakes and bugs and shit come out. I'm like,
yeah, it's awesome.
I was like, they did not.
And he's like, going, ah.
And then at the end, like I said, and then at the end where they pretty much like, they're pretty much suggesting, they're like, yeah, we're killing all the children of the world. Well, at least the ones that bought those masks. I guess if you dressed up as something else, then you were
A-okay. Well, you remember the very end, you know, the doctor's like, you know, he's getting to turn off most of the channels. You got to turn off.
There were only
most
3 channels at the time.
The last one, though, they missed it.
Yeah.
And the kids were just changing the channel to go to the other channels. So
yeah. I guess they got killed.
Yeah.
Because was that the implication that there was, it's like some kind of like weird hypnotic? I kind of feel like that was probably going on.
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about, that it was hypnotic. No, they just wanted to know what the big announcement was. They were going to win some kind of surprise. It was some kind of prize.
Yeah, they were kind of like the big giveaway.
Yeah, it was like
whatever.
A big giveaway. They were going to get it. And so, you know, and they loved the mask, I guess. Everybody was wearing them. All the kids were trick-or-treating in them.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
I like that one scene where, like, Tom Atkins comes. See, this is why I'm thinking that the woman that was in it that played his ex-wife. Well, hi there.
Look at this.
Hi, Cookie. Please do not step on my laptop.
Right, get her out. Okay.
You can go back there, though. All right. That's okay. She's behind there. But the woman that played his ex-wife, and it was the same woman that played... one of the friends in Halloween. I can't remember. What the hell was her name? I can't remember. But she was in it for a few minutes. Now, like, Tom Atkins comes to the house. Like, he's like, hey, I got the kids some masks. And they were, like, those cheap-ass, like, plastic ones. And the kids were like, lame, Dad. Yes. Mom already got us the good ones. Yeah. That's going to make our faces melt off. So yeah. There's the thing. Because I got the impression that he did not live there, which is why I'm saying. And I was going to say earlier, like, this whole trope of Tom, I don't know if I'd call it a trope because I can only point to two examples. But this movie, like, Tom Atkins, he meets the daughter of this murdered guy, and they go on an investigation, like, within, like, 10 minutes. They're fucking.
Yeah.
And, like
that
I
came
said...
from The Fog.
Yeah, and I was going to say, the same thing happened in The Fog. He picks up Jamie Lee Curtis, who's, like, hitchhiking.
Yeah, who looks and then, 30 years younger than him.
Right, and then, like, an hour later...
He's got it.
He's like, hey, let's go to my house and have sex. Okay.
Yeah. And the 80s weren't that good.
Do you want to get murdered? No. That's how you get murdered. I'm just saying, but that was like, I don't know if it happened in one, because I know Tom Atkins was like in a lot of, you know.
Jamie Lee Curtis was in The Fog because she was just a friend to Carpenter and his bunch, and they just put her in the movie because they just cuss. They said
that. Yeah, I think what happened was
they made that part for her. You
they
know,
did, just, because, yeah. I mean, she had a huge success with Halloween, and I think she thought she was going to kind of, you know, put that into other types of movies, but she wasn't really getting much offers except for other horror movies, and she didn't really want to do that. So when he was doing The Fog, he just said, well, I'll just write this part for you. And so that's why it seems a little bit like she's kind of shoehorned in. But that noise is Baby Cookie like scratching.
Come get her out of there.
All right. She's getting out. But I think that did you anything else you wanted to say about Halloween 3 Season?
No, just pointing it out. I mean, if you haven't seen this one, go ahead and see it. You can rent this. I think they actually rent, they probably have it on Amazon. I think it's on YouTube also. You can stream it.
Yeah.
It's just a good standalone horror movie from those days.
Yeah, and like I said, as long as you're not expecting it to have Michael Myers in it, or even for it to be a slasher movie, because it's kind of more like a pagan,
kind of like horror sci-fi.
Yeah, like with some sci-fi elements and stuff like that. Yeah. Then you should probably, and like I said, kind of turn your brain off. Don't think too much about Connell Cochran's plan.
Just start drinking. Just lay up in a bed. Turn the lights off. Just start drinking.
Because it doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
Yeah. It makes sense. The movie does make sense.
It does.
It's just that it's not scientifically plausible. It's not supposed to be. It's about witchcraft mixed with robotics and technology.
Witchcraft and robots,
You know, and it's got this, you know, it's got 80s technology, gigantic, you know, reel-to-reel computers, and, you know, remember that? And they didn't have laptops back then. They looked like Tandy computers. They were like Tandy. Yeah. Remember Tandy's?
They didn't have laptops until, shit, I don't even remember.
And
late 90s, maybe?
They stole a part of Stonehenge, right?
But one of the whole stones. It was in the warehouse.
But I remember all of Stonehenge being in the warehouse.
No, it wasn't.
Just one stone.
Because even, like I said, they even did a clever call. Like at the beginning of the movie, like somebody's like making breakfast or whatever it is they're doing, and there's like a news report on about how somebody somehow like stole one of the stones.
They're like, how'd they take that? Where did they take a big stone? And it was done at the night. Nobody saw anything. No traces left behind.
They magicked it. I thought
robots,
that,
man.
Yeah, I thought the implication was that they either use robots.
I think they use the robots
because otherwise, like, how would you get that through customs?
I don't know.
You know what I'm saying? So that's what I mean about like don't think about it too much.
Don't think about it.
But yeah, so
it's a good flick.
Check out Halloween 3: Season of the Witch if you haven't. And Silver,
the most
Shamrock.
Maligned but the most beloved of the
in
the
a
Halloween
way. Yeah,
series.
It really seems to be one of those love it or hate it kind of things. Like I said, whether you love it or hate it depends very much on whether you can just kind of like roll with its premise.
That was the only Halloween I knew. I saw that one first.
You saw that one first. Like I said, you were lucky.
Then I saw the other ones and they were all right too, but I was kind of like, where's that dude?
Where are the masks?
Yeah, where's the
masks? Why aren't they killing the children?
Right.
This is bullshit.
So a lot of our tastes have to do with expectations.
I was reading a thing the other day that someone somewhere, I can't remember where it was, some horror blog or something was making the very bold statement that they thought Halloween 3 was the best one of the whole series. And people were like, some people were like, and then some people were like, nah, bro.
It depends on what you expect. If you want a slasher with the guy, you know, Halloween 1 and 2, probably. Even the new one was okay.
Actually, I actually like the new one.
But something that is a little more sprawling, a bigger story, you know, where with more characters and more stuff happening in it, I would say Halloween 3.
And like I said, Halloween it's really be nothing like the other ones.
No, no.
So it's, you know, I don't even...
Halloween 3 is like up there with Videodrome, kinda. Or, what else was going on at that time that was kind of...
shit, man.
You know, I'm trying to think of the other things. We were Extro. And,
yeah.
You know, and
we gotta do one on that, too, one of these days.
It was something
That's
like
a weird-ass movie.
you know, where it was kind of being played alongside all that. So, you know.
Yeah.
Just saying, we had different expectations, I guess you could say, you know.
So we did, you know. And like I said, a lot of the movies back then, even if they weren't objectively very good,
you still watch them.
They had some, well, they had like a kind of charm to them.
Yeah, they were fun.
You know what I mean? And this is a fun movie, I think. Mm-hmm. So, you know.
Yeah.
Your mileage may vary, of course. I'm not, I'm not going to say it's better than the original Halloween, but it's not the same.
It's not the same. It's not type the of same movie. Book. It's not the same
even
movie.
In the same like universe or no. anything like that. So I don't really, the two are not comparable. They're right. not even really the same genre. So I'm not going to go that far.
It's but, like you know. The Fog.
Yeah.
Along that line. So, better than The Fog, actually.
I like it better action, than The Fog, yeah.
In terms of action and things that they show you and horror and kids' heads blowing up, you know.
Always a plus. Yeah.
Okay, you know what it was like?
What's that?
It was kind of like Scanners, but Scanners was a little more hardcore.
Yeah.
That's, you know, we kind of put it at that level.
Yeah. I can see
like
that.
Like a Scanners movie. Scanners 1.
Yeah.
In Although some I ways, love Scanners 1.
I do too.
Yeah, dude's head blowing up. Yeah.
And that's still like a fucking popular meme everywhere. Cool, Every time you tell somebody your mind was blown, everybody puts a gif from that fucking movie that dude's head exploding. All right, so that'll do it for our little retrospective on Halloween 3, Season of the Witch. Check it out if you haven't already. And remember, if you like the show, like, share, subscribe on all your social media, share with all your friends and family. If you'd like to financially support the show, you can go to our Patreon page, patreon.com/13oclockpodcast, or you can go to our blog, 13oclockpodcast.wordpress.com, and there's a link in the sidebar to a PayPal account. Our movie retrospectives come out every Friday, and our matinee show, which is three new movies in the theater, that comes out every Sunday, and our regular episodes come out every Tuesday, so check them out. We will see you next time. Bye.